life on the road. It's
booze, tacos, angry dwarves, strippers waving guns,
and
fees, fights, candle flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great, a bachelorette, drunks in the front, making out through your set,
and
middle acts doing blow more, missing merch,
and
drive the rental car past another mega church,
and
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone, one big Law and Order marathon.
All right, thanks for tuning in to the Road Stories Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Murray Valeriano. We are part of the All Things Comedy Network, not at the Comedy Network studios. I'm making it convenient for my boys. I'm making it convenient for my comedians today, who one lives around the corner and the other's staying around the corner. You have like the comedy flop house, it seems like.
No, you came to that place, the bro house.
Right, yeah.
They tore that down.
Oh, no, yeah.
Now I live in a place called the Dad Pad.
Oh, I like
it. It's a lot nicer.
Mm-hmm.
That's not falling apart.
Okay.
Hardwood floors.
Oh, that place was kind of
It's seen its better
rickety
days.
Yeah.
This place has got it. We got a fire pit.
Nice.
We got a side yard with cornhole. We got some dad shit going on. We got a grill out there. We got utensils.
Dads love utensils, man.
Yeah, they do.
Hey, joining me today on the show is the one Dave Waite. How are you, sir?
Hey, buddy. I talked before my name
was
said.
That's all right. I asked. That's all right. I don't know. And then Jeff Tate is with us.
I waited politely.
What brings you to town, Jeff?
Oh, I just like coming to L.A. It was starting to get too gross in Cincinnati. I needed a week with no humidity.
It does get hot over there, huh?
Yeah.
That's
hot
right.
And humid.
Yeah.
It is kind of a drag sometimes.
I forgot I have now Road Stories pins.
Oh.
You're going to give us the pin before you see how we perform on the podcast?
Well, I usually give it to them before, and then it usually stays on the table. So everybody always forgets it. So... Yeah, they are. Somebody mentioned they are possibly the size of man's nipples.
I don't know.
I mean, if you got weird nipples,
are you talking about the pointy part or the whole thing?
I think the whole thing.
Yeah, it's probably about that. I mean, there's a lot of things that are about that size. So, what a point of reference.
I don't know. I can't remember who pointed that out. I think it was the porn actress I had on the show. I think she did.
Oh.
She would know.
Yeah. There's been a lot of not her. She is a stand up. I think she was a.
She just does stand up.
She does stand up and porn. But there's a lot of porn. I don't like to say porn star because I don't understand why every time you do a porn, you're automatically a porn star. There aren't just porn actors and actresses.
Whenever you've been in a movie and then you die, they say star of Beverly Hills Cop, and you're like, you were just on the list.
Right? All right, sorry.
We were looking up the inspector yesterday.
Oh, is he dead?
Yeah, he died a couple of years ago, but they said like all the headlines for when he died said star of Beverly Hills Cop. You're like, huh. Star just means Ben was in now. That's what star means.
But I think he was a star, though. Come on. He was an integral part of the both plots, one and two. I didn't see three, and I don't think anybody should.
Unless you're always the third person coming in to a threesome, then maybe you're best supporting.
Yeah.
I'm a supporting porn star.
Right.
I do a lot of character work. I dress up as a furry a lot.
A lot of that guy porn actors.
Yeah.
Right. I do a lot of
stunt cocking.
So it's a straight man, but it means something different in their world.
So what is going on? Have you guys run across anything? Because so there's a lot of porn actresses who are now doing stand-up, I've noticed, especially in New York, which is
really
kind of insane to me.
I didn't know that they...
It's hard to believe that somebody would be so thirsty and put their body out there in a vulnerable way to also get on stage. I can see the crossover pretty easily.
I don't know. I don't like it. My first thought was like, how much attention do you need? You know, you're just well, you're
it's,
one.
It's not everybody is like not everybody is in this for attention.
Oh, really?
Like there's you could tell the people with the attention compulsion are different. There's the people that want to be heard and the people that feel like, you know, these like that, like it's not enough vulnerability.
Right.
I mean, and now with the way like, you know, like I think the price you get paid for porn has went down a lot, you know, unless you got your own, like, you know,
I would imagine, union. Right? Because it's all free now everywhere. It's all free.
Yeah. I mean, they're still making money somehow, you know, obviously, or they wouldn't make it, you know.
Right.
But, you know, you
or get unless it, you're just the love of the game.
You get into stand up. It's a way to do like personal appearances without having to strip or something like
right.
that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And most of the porn stars I read in, I don't know. Wow, I knew this. This is not, I read this in like a detective novel that was set in LA. So it's probably not true.
Right. All right. That's fine. I'm trying to turn you up. I did a sound check on this, but for some reason.
You're trying to turn both of us up with all this porn talk.
Hey, oh, there it is right there. How is the Blind Barber? Dave Waite runs the best show in town, I believe.
Well, I run it with three other guys. Well, I run it with a team. Not Grant Cotter. Don't give him credit. Grant Lyon.
Oh, what did I say? Oh, I said Grant Cotter. Sorry.
I mean, I like Grant Cotter. He's a good guy. Yeah, I know. But he's not part of the
two
team.
Two different people. Understand.
I don't know.
And Andy Peters? Is that
Andy
the third?
Andy Peters and then Nick Anthony.
Oh, I don't know, Nick.
And he writes on a TV show. He does stand up, but he
awesome.
And then we just started one in Highland Park with John O'Zalay and then my friend Logan Gunzelman, who you met the last time I was on the show.
Sure, spot. I know Logan. I know John. I was just on a couple of weeks ago.
So yeah, we started this because they opened another location, the Blind Barber. So we started another show.
Oh, nice,
there.
Nice.
So we got like a 6-person team, you know. But you've done the show. You know how good it is.
Oh, I mean, it's fantastic.
It takes a lot of people to run a really good show.
Yeah. I remember the first time I did it, I was, I don't know, like the week before, I texted Dave. I'm like, hey, man, you should send me the info and I'll promote it. He's like, nah, it's cool. And I'm like, what? All right. And then I found out you have this great audience built. Not, I don't want to say built in, but. You know, you've got a great following. How's
it's
that?
Built in now. They built it in.
Yeah.
I mean, and there are always still new people because somebody's friends will bring up.
Sure.
Or somebody, like, we can see the email gets forwarded because we have, like, this huge email.
Right.
So, like, people stumble upon it. When I was at the Dead & Company concert the other night. I was waiting in line, in the beer line. I was doing some hard riffs. I was really crushing it. I was like, I was in this line last night and the beer shut down. I was almost there and it was fucking on. And people were like, that's fucking crazy. And then this guy goes, are you Dave? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, Blind Barber. And
oh,
I was
nice.
Like, I was like, that's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, that's got to be
nice. Out there in the world, getting recognized for my show.
Yeah, your own show. That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been going pretty well.
Yeah. Did you have a good time the other night, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the things, whatever you could be asking about, I had a good time. Dead & Company was dope.
Oh, you guys both went to Dead & Company?
Yeah.
Ah, man, I'm bummed I missed it. Again, I'm a big Phil Lesh fan and he doesn't play with him. And so that's
What does Phil Lesh play?
He's the bass player.
He's the bass player?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but what do they lose by not having Phil Lesh? What Grateful Dead songs are off
Box
the
of Rain? pretty much the only thing they lose.
Yeah, when he sings, you're like, all right.
They're all phenomenal players, but he is a standout in my opinion.
The guy with him is good. O'Teal.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He played with the Allman Brothers for like over a decade.
Is that the black dude?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that guy's good.
He's got a great voice when he sings. And
Phil Lesh does not have a great voice.
Yeah, he does, but O'Teal does some Jerry songs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he'll sing some Jerry songs.
Oh, that's cool. So they're only just singing Bobby songs?
No. Like, no. I mean,
outside
John
of...
Mayer does Jerry songs, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he does the... Pigpen songs too.
Okay,
John Mayer does this.
Okay,
like
cool.
The blues numbers. He really crushes that shit.
Oh yeah, you know it's kind of a kick in the nuts for that. John Mayer is such a great guitar player. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean
think I like to look at it from this point of view. John Mayer was born 30 years too late to be in the Grateful Dead, the place he was always supposed to be.
Mm.
And somehow he still got into the Grateful Dead. Like, that's pretty cool.
Right.
That's like, what are the odds that you get to be the perfect band for you has already been around for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know,
that makes sense.
Or if he would have, you know, if he'd have been born 20, you know, he might have been Stevie Ray Vaughan's like rival. Or
sure.
Something, you know,
I tell you, the first time
he didn't have any, there wasn't really a market for what he made pop songs.
Sure.
That was the market for what.
That makes sense.
He was a little more Eric Clapton and a little less Stevie Ray Vaughan. but he was basically the same type as like the Kenny Wayne Shepherd or the Johnny Lang guys, like those guitar guys when they came out. But those guys leaned more towards the heavier stuff, the less poppy stuff.
Yeah.
So they got to have credit, but no audience.
Sure.
And John Mayer got no credit, but he did get an audience.
Yeah.
But he's still a really, really good guitar player.
He is, man. The first, I don't remember, he was on some like benefit TV show and he played Voodoo Child by Jimi Hendrix, and I was like,
oh, I think that's that Crossroads Eric Clapton thing.
Yeah. No, this is a long time ago. It was like a benefit for like maybe it was a 9/11 benefit or something like that long ago. Yeah, and
yeah,
I was like,
that's from like the early 2000s.
Yeah,
the first time I ever saw him, and it was he did Voodoo Child, I think.
Oh yeah, man,
that thing I saw. So maybe,
oh, maybe it's the same thing. I don't know, but I was like, oh man, this guy can play. You ever open for bands?
Not really.
No,
I have occasionally, but never on the road. Always
in Cincinnati.
Yeah. I mean, I did one. I did a show in Hollywood with Shooter Jennings.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
His album release party. So I guess I did. I did open for Shooter Jennings once.
Waylon Jennings' son.
Was that it? At the what was that metal bar on Hollywood Boulevard that's gone now? It was near
Cat and Fiddle.
No. It was like near Hollywood and Highland. No, not Hollywood and Highland. Hollywood and I don't remember the name of it, but it was like a cool old metal bar. But I think it's gone now.
Did it go well? Were they expecting comedy, or were they expecting
Shooter?
They
were not expecting comedy, and it's built. It was built for the room was built for the loudest ass fucking metal band.
Oh, yeah.
So the room and the walls and everything is designed to dampen sound. So I was told it went well.
Okay,
I couldn't really hear anything. I couldn't tell if I was doing well. I couldn't hear anybody laugh.
Right, right.
The people I could see were laughing, but I could just see them like.
I was supposed to open for Tom Morello for a benefit for Puppy Mills.
Oh.
Or against Puppy Mills, I guess.
Oh, against Puppy Mills.
Yeah, not against Puppy Mills.
But well, never mind. I'm not on board.
And I don't want to say he demanded because he's a really nice guy, but he decided he wanted to go up at. He was supposed to go on at 10, and he was playing his Night Watchman stuff. He was supposed to go up at 10, and they had three comics before him, and he decided he wanted to go up at 9 instead. So he went up at 9, and then I went up later. So I didn't really open for him, but...
Sounds like he opened for you.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is.
He's like, I got to get out of here.
Was he cool? Was he nice?
Yeah, totally. I ran into him. I introduced myself to him again at the Academy Awards the other night. And he was very cool.
Yeah.
Did you see him dancing? I've been obsessed with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame episode this year, and I'm not a big Rock and Roll Hall of Fame fan, but the performances are so great between The Cure and Roxy Music and Def Leppard. They were fantastic. Stevie Nicks, who cares? But Tom Morello, you can see Tom Morello jamming out to, I think it was Def Leppard out in the audience. It was pretty awesome.
Just watching
and jamming out.
That's the best part of the Rock and Roll Hall. I went last year, December. I've been before, but you know, I got to go.
Oh, Cincinnati.
It's Cleveland.
Right. Oh, Cleveland. Right.
That's where. It's we're
pretty close. Like same state.
Okay.
And that's like that's the best part that like they have like this video of all the different shows, all the inductions.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And then the screen's moving and the chair's shaking, and then it ends with like that fucking Prince fucking guitar jam.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where he throws the guitar up and all that shit.
Right.
That's like the big closing number, but. They did an amazing job of like blending all the stuff in and like the seat shake, you know,
Disney
World shit. And like the screens are moving and there's like some fucking fog. I think maybe I made up the fog
that
part,
fog
but
shape.
Yeah.
Vape,
right?
You were vaping. Does he do that thing? Like that? Have you seen the concert for George where Prince comes out and plays with Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne? He does that thing where he throws the guitar up and then it just doesn't come back down. Is that the same thing he does on that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing?
Yeah, he throws the guitar up and then
it's just gone. Like on the concert for George,
really?
the guitar's just gone.
He like leans back in the audience.
Yeah,
and people
some dude catches him and he solos.
All that stuff.
That stuff's awesome. There's
Maybe
another
that was
concert.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Was Donnie Harrison on that?
And Tom Petty and all that stuff. It was the induction for George Harrison.
Oh, it was the George Harrison induction, not the concert thing.
Yeah.
The concert for George. That's why I couldn't. Somebody showed that to me last couple of nights ago. Chris Sharpen's here, and I was confused. Like, why weren't the rest of the heartbreak? Like, where are the rest of the Heartbreakers? Because the thing that I was remembering was the Heartbreakers thing, but this one wasn't. This one.
There's a couple of
those people.
There's a couple of them. They get very intertwined. And Danny Harrison put one together at the Wiltern that Weird Al was on, and was fucking awesome. Just
did Weird Al play it straight?
Weird Al played it as straight as Weird Al could. You know, he's playing it straight, but he's still Weird Al, and it's fantastic. And I think they do What Is Love. I'll bring it up on YouTube after this. It's just fantastic. He's just dancing like Weird Al, but fucking singing because he can sing.
Did you go to
What Is Love? You're singing CNC Music. Is that CNC
Baby
Music Factory?
Don't hurt me.
No more.
Did I see what?
Did you go to that concert live?
No. I just stumbled on it. I've been stuck at home at night, so I've just been going down the rabbit hole of YouTube of live concerts, which I love because you can go and get concerts that you saw in high school. I mean, they're on little shitty, you know, whatever, but you know, you can find some of them.
Yeah, it's nice to unlock all this stuff, ain't it?
Have you ever opened for bands at all?
No. I remember when I very first started, my buddies were in a cover band, and I was like, hey man, can I do a set between your sets? Right. That was real dumb.
Yeah,
because everybody wanted to talk. But I was just really thirsty to get on stage.
Sure.
And I just wanted to get out there. There was a couple times I opened for him. I opened it for him at like a VFW hall. I think I eat shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice that they let me hijack their microphone. You know, I just wanted to get up in front of the people.
There was a really cool gig at the Canyon Club, which is a concert venue out here. This 80s cover band called the M80s, I think, play at 10, and then they had stand up from 9 to 10. That was great. I mean, as long as you went up after 9:30, because people are just trickling in between 9 and 10, and so 9:30, it's already packed. But if you went up at not like the crew,
man, that would be so fun to do that show as an 80s show.
Oh, like 80s comics?
Not even 80s comics, but just kind of add an 80s sheen to it. Push your sport coat sleeves.
Well, that's what I mean. Like dress like you're in the 80s and maybe do some references.
I didn't mean like book. I thought you meant book 80s.
That's the ticket.
Yeah. All kinds of. Right, you don't want to get Mark Pitta or whatever, but do. But do.
We can Mark get, Pitta, that's a good rep. We can get Mark Pitta.
We could get him.
Yeah.
No, I know. What I'm saying is that's not what I meant.
Right.
You have modern comedians doing their take on 80s.
I gotcha. You don't want Bill Kirkenbauer.
Interspersed.
With the real deal?
With the real deal. And then at the end, the audience has to guess who's from now and who isn't. That's so mean. The people who get voted as not being from now don't know it yet.
Now, where is the Canyon Club?
The Canyon Club's out in the valley, like around Agoura Hills.
Oh, you just said a word I didn't like.
The valley?
Yep.
Oh, nobody likes it. But
I like... When I'm there, I'm like, this is enjoyable. Just right. That, you know, I live on this side of the hill. You know, you get.
It's a whole other world.
It's a whole other world.
You guys say that, but it's not true. It's exactly the same, only hotter.
Yeah.
It's like just a little hotter. Like it's not.
I don't have an air conditioner.
Well, I understand that.
Okay.
But people in the valley do. So it's not like. It's not that different. Like you guys are acting like you go across. Like when people talk about the valley, it's like, what do you think is different? It's,
I just think it's far away.
From, yeah, just
like the fact
far.
That the Canyon Club's there. I'm like, I'm just never gonna go there. That's what he told me. That was the information he told me.
Yeah, I'm never gonna go there. Hey guys, thanks.
I'm never gonna go there.
All right, thanks for listening to episode 1 of the Jeff Tate. Dave Waite episode. Tune in tomorrow for episode 2. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
You want to know about life on the road? It's booze, tacos, angry dwarfs, strippers waving guns,
and
bees, fights, candle flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great, a bachelorette. Drunks in the front, making out through your set.
And
middle acts doing blow more, missing merch.
And
drive the rental car past another mega church.
And
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone. One big Law and Order marathon.